I tried the best I knew how to impress upon the moderator that there were better selections than myself, but to no avail. I began with a place that I have started using oftentimes when I get up in front of the Lord's people. Not that we want to talk about it particularly, but that we would want to set it before you and request a prayer. It's in the fourth chapter of Colossians, and it's the second through the fourth verse. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all, or together with, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. The Lord would answer that prayer, then we'll have church this afternoon. If he doesn't, then perhaps Brother James would be able to lift you up. I have a subject matter on my mind, and it's not a deep subject. It's not something that's mysterious. It's something that we have heard over and over again in our lives, but it's what's on my mind. I have learned that the Lord can take the simplest of subjects and open them up in a rich way that it could feed the young and old alike. Our belief is not hard to understand. At the bottom line, everyone who's supposed to be in heaven will be in heaven without the loss of one. That's what we believe. So here's the verse, and I'll just jump into just one verse in the middle of the subject. It's in the third chapter of John and the sixth verse. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Simple words, but it says so much. Obviously, there's two births being talked about. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. That is born of the flesh is not spirit. And that which is born of the Spirit is not flesh. Simple thing to understand. Not only are they not one of the other, not only are they two separate births, they don't agree with each other. I'll find it here in a second. Trust. Galatians. At least it was in Galatians last time I looked. Fifth chapter of Galatians, 17th verse, says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things you would. So not only are they two separate things, but they're contrary one to the other. They don't get along. They're not at peace one with the other. They war one with the other. That explains a lot within our lives as we're pulled one way or as we are pulled another way. Well, why is that so? Has it always been that way? Be careful how you answer now. Has it always been that way? Well, the truth is, no. It hadn't always been that way. Let's go back to Genesis. Let's go back to the book of beginnings. Let's understand that when God finished His creation on the sixth day, first of all, He created man on that sixth day, and of all the things that God created, man was the pinnacle of His creation. How do you know that? Well, let me read the scripture to you. And God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Man, male and female, created He them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and other and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. He didn't say that to any of the other parts of His creation, only to man, that He has had dominion over everything else that He has made. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that He made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. You know what wasn't there? Sin. Sin wasn't there. So there in the flesh of the spirit and the soul, body, the natural man, my friends, there was no variance with God. There was no intimacy with God. There was no conflict with God. They were all yielding peace and harmony, and man has never been in that same state since, my friends. One way that you can quickly tell how sound a man is to take him to the first chapter of Genesis and just see what he has to say. As long as you say that Adam had to sin, you're in heresy. He didn't have to. He chose to. Do you know Adam was not deceived in the transgression? Eve was, but Adam knew exactly what he was doing. In fact, Adam rebelled against God, my friends. He willfully did that. Now, we might say, well, I would have done that. You don't have any idea what you would have done, or me either. Because we were without sin. Adam was without sin at that point. But Eve gave to him, and he did eat, and in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's what being born of the flesh is about. Let's go prove that to us again and set it forth, we trust, in clear method and clear form. Fifth chapter of Romans says this. 12th verse, 5 and 12. Wherefore, as by one man, who's that one man? Adam. Not only is it one man, it's one act of one man. It's one action of one man. And look at what happened. Whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Do you hear that? Not only did sin enter into the world, death by sin entered into the world. Well, how about before then? Death had not entered into the world because one man hadn't trespassed anything. But when that happened, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all had sinned. That's true on every human being that has ever been upon this earth, save one. And that's the second man, Adam. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't have that, because His Father was the Holy Father. And He existed before time, and here in time, he was made flesh, my friends. But he was as man with one huge exception, my friends, no sin upon him whatsoever. For the law, for until, or before the law, sin was in the world. I'm talking about the law of Moses. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Now, what happened between Adam to Moses? Where can you see death reigning so clearly? Where is it that there was more death than has ever happened into this world naturally that we've ever seen? It was between Adam and Moses. It's called the flood. It's called Noah and the flood, my friends. And I want you to know, all except those eight souls that were in that ship, they drowned, my friend. You talk about death reigning. We have 1,000 killed and it's awful. And we have a 9/11 and it's awful. And we have this many wars. I tell you, there's never been an instant, my friends, where there's been more natural death than in the flood. If ever there was a point that would prove what this has just said. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that have not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. You know, you can get in trouble when you try to make figures out of things that are not figures. But when the Bible says it's a figure, you can say it's a figure. And the Bible just said that Jesus and Adam, they had a relationship. And that relationship is one was a figure of the other. So much that you could call one the first Adam, man Adam, and second, the second man Adam. And then in that same verse afterwards, he's also called the last man Adam. What does that mean? There's no third Adam. It's just number one Adam and number two Adam. And that's it. And by God's grace, my friend, there are those that were chosen in Christ before the world began that was represented in both those births. You see, all mankind was represented by Adam. But all those who were in Christ, who are those? Those who were placed in Christ. When did that happen? Before the foundation of the world. And that is what how things come to us, my friends, is how Adam's transgression comes to us. I don't choose for it to happen. I don't make a decision for that to happen. I can't keep it from happening, my friends. The fact is that my mom and dad were sinners, and their mom and dad were sinners, and their mom and dad were sinners, and et cetera, et cetera. And by the way, me and my wife are sinners, and our children are sinners, and my grandchildren are sinners, and it's the same with you, my friend. It passes, but with Jesus it didn't pass. Now, that which is flesh is flesh. That's what you get on the flesh side of it, my friends. You get death. You get woe. Hadn't always been that way. But I tell you, from the day that it started, which is in the day that thou eatest thereof, and the very instant, my friend, the very moment that Adam broke the only law that God gave him. You see that? Don't eat it. Not hard to understand. Not difficult to explain. I don't care how it looks. I don't care who talks to you differently. The fact is, don't touch that tree. I think I could have understood that. How about you? So what did he do? Well, the serpent beguiled Eve. Eve took of the tree. You know, she looked on it. She saw that it was good. Beautiful to look upon. One to make one wise and so forth and so on. And she took of that tree and she gave to Adam. And he did eat. The big difference is Adam was not deceived. So that's what you get with flesh. That's what we have with flesh. And so we would remain there if it were not for another birth. Now I have as much to do with one of those births as I do the other, which means I have nothing. I didn't choose mom and dad to be my mom and dad. I didn't choose the last name Huckabee. I didn't choose my name as it is. In fact, they call me my name that they don't even give me. Sonny's not on my birth certificate. But my point is, I had no choice in it. You know, I received a lot of things I hadn't chose to receive. I received the measles. I didn't choose to. I received all that stuff. I didn't choose to. It just came. It's like the earth receiving the rain. I just have it. I didn't choose to have it. I just have it, my friend. And so do you. So do you. You know what I'm starting to receive now? Old age. I got to have hearing aids. I got to have glasses. Mind's starting to fail. All that type of stuff. I don't choose for any of that to happen. But Brother Bruce, that doesn't matter, does it? No. It's going to come, or does come, whether you choose for it to come or not. What about my will? My will has not a thing to do with that, my friend. My will's impacted by that, but I don't have a thing. I don't choose for those things to happen. I hope that's clear to you. But neither do you choose for the second to happen, which is spiritual. What happens in spiritual birth? Well, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Oh, my friends, what an understatement there is in the Bible. What goes with that? All things spiritual come with that. A whole world opens up that's a spiritual world. A whole understanding opens up which is a spiritual understanding. Now, we might take it for granted because it might have happened, I guess, with John the Baptist. It happened before he was born. It might happen before. We might not have. He knew when it happened, so to speak. But I know some people in the Bible knew exactly when it happened. I would say Saul of Tarsus, my friend, could take you right to the point in which it happened. He could take you right to that point of the road, my friends. And he could say, right here. Right here. I was walking in the power of my own strength, thinking I had everything to do. I knew what I was going to do today, tomorrow, and the next day. I am a Pharisee, a son of a Pharisee, concerning the law, perfect concerning zeal, my friend, without a sin. He knew exactly what he wanted. And I mean in an instant. No one was praying for Saul of Tarsus to be born again, my friends. No one had even thought about that happening. Why would you? Here's publican. He is the chief of sinners. My friends, that word chief is not an adjective, it's a noun. He is the chief of sinners. He is the top sinner, my friends. In that time, he was the chief. The church scared to death of him. They heard about him. What happened when the Lord appeared unto Ananias and said, you go to a man named Saul? No, wait a minute. I've heard of that man. He throws folks like me in prison. And you want me to go? You want me to do what? I want you to go and talk to that man. You know what the Lord told him that I think kind of settled that for Saul, Ananias? Behold, he prayed. Behold, he prayed. What's the first words out of Ananias' mouth when he got to him? Brother.
Amen.
Saul.
Amen.
Then what was right after that? The Lord that hath appeared unto thee in the way hath appeared unto me also and sent me to tell you. You know what he just did? My friends, what happens, I trust, in every sermon that's inspired by the Spirit of God, it attaches to your own spiritual experiences. I don't want to communicate to you on a mental level now. I've heard one minister tell another minister, and they were extremely prominent ministers. And this isn't hearsay, I heard it. I heard one tell the other, man has two natures, and I'm not ashamed to preach to either one of them. Well, I am. I never want to preach to the natural man. I have no desire to preach to the natural. I don't have anything to offer you from a natural standpoint. But if God be my helper, my friend, I have something, if He gives me grace, I have something to offer to you, to try to present to you, to try to have you come out with an understanding better than what you did when you entered this service concerning spiritual things. Well, what happened in this spiritual birth? Well, just like I said, you don't have anything to do with it. You're the recipient of it. You don't choose when it happens. You can't prevent it from happening. It's going to happen. In fact, if you're a child of God, if you were chosen before the foundation of the world. My friends, before you pass this world, you will be born again. Period. No ifs, ands, or buts. It might be like John the Baptist while you were still in your mother's womb. Or it might be like one of the thieves on the cross in the last hours of your life, my friends. But somewhere it's going to happen. And let me tell you something else. The way that God had begun to do this work with, I believe, Adam and Eve, the when He first began, is the same identical way He does it now. He hadn't changed one iota. He hadn't. Now let me tell you, that's mysterious when you think about it. Because Titus tells us there's a washing in regeneration. Hebrew tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Well, how could God use the blood in regeneration, in washing, before there was the blood? Because God is God, and He doesn't have to wait for something to be before He can use it, my friend. He can speak to it as though it's already happened. That's why all those EDs are on the end of those things, of whether we're justified or glorified, my friend. He can speak to it as if it's done, because it's sure and it's steadfast. But He could use the blood before there was the blood, watch this, by having faith in the blood. And that's not mine or your faith at all. It's God's faith. It's God's knowledge. It's God's ability to be able to use something before there was that something. And it's a washing. It's a cleansing. What's washed? Something's washed. What is it? It's the inward part, my friends. It's the soul. It's the inward man that is cleansed by the washing of regeneration. And when it's in that cleansed state, something miraculous happens. And it happens the same identical way, my friends, for every single one of His children. Let me read it to you. I could quote at it, but let me just read it. Second Peter, first chapter, fourth verse. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, listen, ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. What did He just say? He says, my friends, in the work of regeneration, you inherit a divine nature. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen how 1 John says it. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Whoa, that needs some explaining, doesn't it? I've sinned since I've been up here in front of you, I'm sure. But I just read to you. Does that mean I'm not born of God? No. That to rightly divide that. You know, that's the problem with so many folks. They look at the Scriptures and they try to make natural interpretations when Jesus Christ said, the words that I speak, they're spirit and they're life. You've got to have spiritual understanding. You've got to be able to use that divine nature that's been planted within you, my friend, that has, I can get to it in a second, that has the fruit. And you need to be able to use that to have spiritual discernment to work. And I believe in the church having spiritual. I do not believe that that is limited to ministers, nor do I believe that that is limited to brethren. I've had some wonderful spiritual discussions that really exceeded my understanding. I've had sisters teach me things, my friends, as recently as like a couple of weeks ago. Well, I'm not going to say that. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now please remember this last part, because it's very important. Why? Why is that true? What's he talking about? The body sins, my friend. But I'll tell you something in you that does not sin. And it's the Spirit of God that's in you. And you know why it doesn't? Listen. Does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. Seed. Hold on to that. I want to get back to that in just a second. Seed remaineth in him. Let me finish reading. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Now you look what you get from that which is spirit is spirit. You know what you get? You get a whole spiritual entity in you that's divine. It's godly. It cannot sin, for its seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. It's impossible for that within you to sin. Now, this sins. This body sins. Our mind is still carnal to some degree. Our flesh, and we can act, my friends, like we haven't been born of God. But the fact is, God has done that work. I don't do it. The gospel doesn't do it. God does it. How? The hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now, let's see some interesting things about seed. I don't know what you think about when you think about seed. I know people are in the congregation today that's made a whole earning, a whole life in their work life about seeds and working with seeds and so forth and so on. But when I think about seeds, my friend, I think about natural seeds. Let me say it another way. I think about plants. I think about things bearing fruit. That's what I think about. This thing. Well, let watch this. Watch what it says over here. Back in the 5th chapter of Galatians, listen to what it said. In the 19th verse, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are," and then it starts listening, we'll go back to it. But in the 22nd verse, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit." It doesn't say the works of the Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit. It sounds like seed to me. The God plants it within you, my friends. Let me first deal with the works of the flesh. The works, 5th chapter of Galatians 19 verse. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." Don't have to worry about it. I like when the Bible says just what it is. It would do you and I good when it says it, just to accept what it says. If it says that's what it is, that's what it is. If it says, these things work together for good, and then it says, "What shall you say to these things?" Guess what? He's talked about them right in between those two places. Don't have to go anywhere else. There they are. Just accept it. Don't make it hard. They're there. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and such like." That's not a complete list of them. There's others that are just like those things. Wow. That's a pretty fruitful thing, isn't it? To our shame, it is. It's very fruitful. And it comes, my friends, from the flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But in contrast to that, but the fruit of the Spirit is, listen, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against there is no law. Let me tell you an experience I had one time. If you've heard me before, you've probably heard the experience, but at least there's one person that's never heard me before in the congregation. My daughter, Elisa, my middle daughter, Hannah's... What are you looking for? Hannah's mother. Daniel's mother. Elisa, my second daughter. I had moved from Arkansas to Texas, gone back for an association, and while we were there, I heard that a distant cousin of mine, her husband, had committed suicide. And they wanted me to do the funeral in around Fayetteville. I didn't know what to do. I flew in. We rearranged that schedule. I didn't have a rent car or anything like that. Lisa said, "Daddy, I'll take you." So Lisa took me Lisa and I were the only two primitive Baptists in that congregation. And he was a very well-known, I can't remember what he was. I think it was a chiropractor. Well-known. And the place was crowded. There wasn't a place for anybody to sit. It was. And I knew what those people. In fact, I visited with the family ahead of time. And I'm glad this isn't being recorded anywhere, so I don't want to ever know about this. Tongue-in-cheek. But anyway, you can't believe what the kids of that family told me. They actually were cussing when they told it to me. And I thought, Lord, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I never met the man. First time I seen him was in that coffin. I'd never seen him before in my life. If no other time in my life the Lord gave me something to say, it was at that funeral. And I told them. I knew what they were thinking. Everybody there, I'm sure, well, most people there, I can get away with that. Most people there thought he was going to hell because he committed suicide. Isn't it funny when it says nothing shall separate you from the love of God? What's the first thing that's listed? It's not life. It's death. Death can't separate you from the love of God. Even if you take your own. Now, in no way do you understand that I'm suggesting that's the most selfish act a person can commit. I remember Elder Larry Webb, a close friend of mine. Stories after stories. I'm sorry. If everybody was like Hannah over there, I'd just say this is story number 3, and I wouldn't have to say anything else. She knows. When Sharon and I got married, there was a couple there, and the woman was very pregnant with a child. And in fact, they left our wedding and went to the hospital and had that child. So the child was born the night Sharon and I got married. So we'd see him at associations or something. And when he was 3-year-old, I would look at Sharon. I said, we've been married that long. Got 15 years old. I said, we've been married a long time. Look, he's a young man. But guess what he did when he was about 20? He took his life. And Larry Webb had that service. I wasn't there. I wish I was there. But this is why I understand him to say. And I can believe he said it just like this. He got up and he says, I'm as livid as I've ever been in my life. I am enraging with hate as I'm standing before him. I'm not mad at calling my name. I'm not mad at this boy. And I'm certainly not mad at his parents. And I'm certainly not mad at God. But what I'm mad at is Satan. That he would convince this boy that was the only choice he had in life, my friend. It's always a good time to hate Satan. Always. Don't think you can make a pact with him, my friend. It's always. God hates Satan. Now, back to my situation. What was I going to say at this funeral? So I asked these people, you know what? I mean, they're like, my daughter was the only primitive Baptist, and my family was a distant cousin. I hadn't seen him in 15 years or long, 20 years. Never heard me try to preach. And I said, I need your help. And I looked at him. I said, I don't know this man. I've never met him before in my life. I don't know him. You're all here because you knew him or knew the family. Is that not right? And they just stared at me. I said, now listen, folks. For this to work, you've got to communicate with me. Is it right that you knew? Yeah, okay. All right. Now let's just listen. And I started going through these fruits of the Spirit, one by one. And I'd ask them. I said, well, did this man have love in him? Did he show compassion to any of you? Answer me, yes or no?
Yes, yeah, okay, okay.
How about joy? Did he ever show?
And I went through all of them. And I said, okay,
based 100% on what you told me, I'm going to tell you with 100% that he's in heaven right now. You know what happened afterwards? I had a group of people come up, maybe about 10 of them in this group, and asked me if I would come down there and have services with them. I didn't. I just moved to Texas. But by the way, it's in the same vicinity where Brother Tom Griffin is right now. My point is, my friends, that if you have these fruits manifested, it is positive fruit, positive evidence that you have a Spirit of God abiding in you. Is it the fruit that bears the tree, or is it the tree that bears the fruit? You know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? I got that one figured out. It's got to be the chicken. I believe that when Brother Hewlin, he'd say this, he'd say, how long do you think it take for the Lord to make an 8-year-old mule? And the point was, it wouldn't take him 8 years. He didn't create Adam as a baby. He created him as a man. He didn't form Eve as a 10-year-old girl. She was a full woman. Even the earth, I believe, my friends, he created the trees and the fruit on the trees.
Amen.
It was a mature earth when it was all done, said and done. So, where was I? Well, talking about trees, I think the Lord Himself sets a beautiful example about what I'm trying to talk about. And I'm getting ready to close down, Brother James, so you get ready. He used trees to talk about what I'm trying to talk about. What are you trying to talk about, Brother Sam? I'm trying to talk about a fleshly birth, and I'm trying to talk about a spiritual birth. And I'm trying to show you that those things don't overlap in the fruit that they produce. One is flesh and only flesh. And one is spirit and only spirit. All of mankind have the first. And there's a whole world of people, my friends, that has the second. And it's the world that he so loves. But there's another world talked about in 1 John, the world that lieth in wickedness, my friends, and God has had nothing to do with that world. That's not a world he loves. It's not a world that he died for. When the angel told Joseph that he shall save his people from their sins, he wasn't talking about that wicked world. He's talking about the world that he so loved. What world was it so loved? The one he chose to love. And when did he choose to love it? Before the foundation of the world. And he still loves it. It's a particular people that he died for, and it's a particular sin that he died for. It's not people in general, and it's not sin in general. Shall save his, pronoun there, his people from their sins. We call that not general atonement, but particular, my friend. Now listen. 6th chapter of Luke, 43rd verse. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now, he uses an illustration. Find this in 7th chapter of Matthew and also 12th chapter of Matthew. He uses this as an example. He says, you wouldn't expect to go to a thorn bush and gather figs. Neither would you expect to go to a fig bush and find thorns on it. Why? Because it's not the nature of those trees to bear those things.
That's right.
Do you know how true that is? You can take a limb, my friends. You can take a plum tree limb and put it into a peach tree and graft it in there. And do you know what that limb will bear? Do you? What? What? Plums, right. Why? Because the seed remaineth in it. God didn't make that tree and the maker of that tree to bear anything but plums. If it's a plum tree. Or if it's a peach tree, then Fredericksburg peaches. If it's a peach tree, my friend, it's in the nature of those branches to bear peaches. And if you take one and graft it into the other, all the rest of them might bear what peaches, I'd say. But that one limb that's a plum, it's going to bear plum. Now listen to what that proves. This is very important. Brother Hewlin would say, this is my clincher. This is very important. Going back to Genesis. First chapter of Genesis. 11th verse. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yieldeth seed, and the fruit tree yieldeth fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Now I'm not going to get into the details of it because I'll get in. I'll talk more than what I know about it. But I have a book at home, my friends, and it proves it scientifically about after its kind. And this man was in the same time period as somebody named Charles Darwin. And we know what he thought. What he thought is you can just evolve into something else. But this man, his name was Gregor Mendel. This man, my friend, he proved. And I'll just give you one example of what he did. He had guinea pigs. He had two white guinea pigs. And bred them together, and guess what it yielded? A guinea pig. So then he took the female, and he took a black guinea pig, and he took the ovaries out of the black guinea pig, and put them into the white one. And then it yielded, what color do you think it was? Going to guess? After its kind now. The ovaries came from a black guinea pig. What do you think? It's going to be black, and it was. Why? Because it produces after its kind. My friends, this is the whole foundation of genetics. It's a whole foundation of what people use when they're trying to make a little bitty dog or they're trying to make a great big dog. But you know one thing you'll never get out of a dog is a cat. You won't. You won't. You can breed. You can make all kinds of things. You can't add anything new to a species, my friend, to make another species. It produces after its kind. You got that? Okay. Now, here's the main point of all of that. People, that's godly people, wonderful people. Some of them are my family. Some of them are your family. They believe that if you'll have faith, and if you'll believe, and if you accept God and Christ as your personal Savior, you'll become a child of God. That is a doctrine of evolution, my friend. Think about it. That's exactly what it is. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You can't. Can an Ethiopian change his skin? Or a leopard his spots? Well, that's silly, Brother Sonny. That's exactly what those folks are saying. They're saying an Ethiopian can change his skin and a leopard can change his spot. But he said, if you could do that, then they that are accustomed to do evil can cease and do good. You can't do it. It's an impossibility from a science standpoint, and it's an impossibility from a Bible standpoint. Why? Because it produces after its kind. You show me someone that fears God, I'll show you a child of God. You show me someone that believes in God, I'll show you a child of God.
If you show me someone that prays to God, how about Cornelius? Did Cornelius pray to God before Peter got there or after Peter got there?
Before.
That man never heard the gospel in his life. And not only did he pray, God heard his prayers and answered his prayer. How are you going to make that man a child of the devil, my friend? You're not. He's a child of God. How do you know? Because he's bearing fruit after his seed. Remember? Does not commit sin. You see what I'm saying? If that seed of God is placed in you, my friends, you will forever be a child of God.
Amen.
Now you might live a life, and sin might be in that life, and it might be a horrible, it will be a horrible existence, my friends. But bless your heart, God is not going to deny himself.
Amen.
May God bless you as I pray.